We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Remember now thy creators in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders or the teeth cease because they're few, and those that look out the windows or the eyes be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low, or not heard. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go out about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel be broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust or the body return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out, and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are goads or challenges, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end, and as much study as the weariness of the flesh. So here's the text verse. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, I want to preach this morning, as I said, on the 13th verse. And that would just simply be the phrase there, the fear of the Lord. And I know today that living in this country, living in this... and there's a stink bug or something on my Bible. He looks like he's could be dangerous. Let me get a bag or something to put him in. Will you take care of him? Give him a good burial. I don't like bugs, especially draw around on my Bible. Thank you, Robert. But as I was saying, living in this country, living in America, living even in the world today, we're shocked by the violence that is going on. We're shocked by the violence that is happening in our schools. We're shocked by the violence that are happening in the workplaces where that they just were shocked at all the things that ISIS is doing, bombing the airports and bombing the restaurants and the malls and the one that we had in San Bernardino, California here just recently. We understand that that we're living in fearful times. We're living in times where that tragedies and all of these things are happening, and it can happen any time, and you never know when you go out whether you're going to get back home or not. So we see all of this are going on. Our televisions and movie screens are filled with images of violence, of death, of sex and blaspheming God and all those kind of things. And we have, as we said, we have in the schools, we have children carrying guns and killing children. And we know that adults are killing unborn babies by the millions every day. Our thousands every day, and we also, our homes are flooded with images of violence and irreverence. And so think with me, and I believe that we all would have to admit today that we're living in a perverse and crooked generation. I believe that we all would say that that is what we're, where we're living at today. And so we say there's no denying that truth. And the answer is why? Why is that that we're living in this crooked and perverse generation when all the wickedness and all the sin and all of the vulgarity and all the things that are happening? And there is, and I believe and I think the answer is found in Romans chapter 3 and verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. I think that where lies the problem with everything that's going on. That there is no fear of God. That's the answer. Men simply do not fear the Lord in our day to day. Be that as it may, one topic about which the Bible has much to say is about how we should fear the Lord. And so I would like to just take a few moments and talk about the matter of the fear of the Lord. As I do, I know that this message that I'm preaching today, I know that this message is not going to change the world. I understand that. But I do hope this morning, my desire is that the Lord will use this message to change me. And hopefully the Lord will use this message to change every one of you that are sitting here this morning under the sound of my voice. And I would like to speak from this verse here and draw from other passages of Scripture as we consider the fear of the Lord. Now, the first thing I want you to see, and I guess in order to understand it, we must first of all understand what is the fear of the Lord. What is the definition? What is a good definition of the fear of the Lord? The Bible tells us that Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. If you'll look over in 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 30. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all the men. So the Bible tells us that Solomon was the wisest man. You say, why you mention Solomon? Because Solomon is the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes. So here, if he says that the entire sum of man's life is to fear God, then I think that we ought to take note of just what he's talking about. In other words, if he's the wisest man, and he says something like this, I believe that you and I ought to pay attention to what he has told us. And so he says the whole duty of man is to fear God and to keep his commandment. In truth, we have a great misunderstanding concerning this manner of fear. Webster defines fear as an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. Now, we have all felt that kind of fear. We all have felt been fear of approaching danger. Maybe something, I don't know what it might be, but we all have felt that kind of fear. And we've all have sensed that, and we know that that kind of fear is not pleasant. When you have that fear of danger approaching or some bad news coming or something like that, you all know what I'm talking about. And so surely, this isn't the kind of fear that Solomon was talking about. Surely that wasn't the definition of the fear that Solomon has in mind. The word used, and the thing is, As we all know, the Bible, when it was translated from the Old Testament, from the Greek to the English, and from the Hebrew to the English, that they had words that meant different things for fear. And the word used for fear in these verses are often used in other verses in the Old Testament dealing with this subject of fear, and it's the word yare, Y-A-R-E. And that word means to stand in awe, to reverence, to honor, and respect. So here's the kind of fear that Solomon is speaking of. He said that we should stand in awe of God. He said that we should reverence God. He says that we should honor God. And he says that we should respect God. It does not mean that we cringe and tremble at the mention of the name of God. But it does mean that we honor Him. It does mean that we respect Him. And it does mean that we reverence Him. It means that we stand in awe of His greatness. And so, Solomon said, the fear of God, the whole duty of man, sum it all up, everything that has ever been said for us to do and not to do and what we should do and shouldn't do. He said you can take all of those things and wrap it up and put it in a bundle and say, here's it all summed up, to fear God and to keep His commandments. It's the whole duty of man. If we do that, all the other things will take care of themselves. All the other things will be fine. But basically, what this means is that when we're in the presence of the Lord, we're not to treat Him like He's our good buddy. We're not to treat Him like that. We don't desire to slap Him on the back and hang out with Him. It means that when you're aware of His presence, and I hope that you're aware of His presence here this morning, because He has promised us when we come together in His name that there He is in the midst. And so we know this morning that we're in the presence of Almighty God here this morning. And so when you are in the presence of Almighty God this morning, I hope that you are aware of it and you react with awe and reverence. It might help us to look at how several in the Bible reacted when they were brought into the presence of the Lord. If you'll remember Isaiah, if you'll look over in the 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah, the Bible says, and Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up on His throne. He said, I saw, and you can read it yourself, He said, I saw all of these things. And look what He says in Isaiah chapter 6 when He came into the presence of God. This great man Isaiah then said, woe is me. And you heard me say this so many times from this pulpit. If you'll go back and read the book of Isaiah from chapter 1 to chapter 6, Isaiah, when he was talking about the sins, he would say, woe unto you, talking to the people. But after he came into the presence of God and he saw God high and lifted up, it was no longer, woe is unto you, but it is woe unto me. Then said I, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Here was another person that came into the presence of God, of the Lord Jesus. You'll find that over in Luke chapter 5. Simon Peter, you remember when they had fished all night, hadn't caught anything. And there their ship was sitting there empty, and Jesus came and stepped onto the ship and began teaching. And then He asked the disciples to push out a little deeper into the water. And then He told them to cast their nets out over the boat, side of the boats. And Peter said, Lord, we've fished all night and we haven't caught anything. And night was the time that you're supposed to fish. It wasn't during the daytime. But He said, nevertheless, at Your word we'll cast. And He threw the nets over and they were full and began to break, and they had to call for another ship, a neighboring ship there, to come and help them. And the Bible says they pulled the fish in, and the Bible says that both of the ships was filled. And this is what, when Simon Peter realized that he was in the presence of God, this is what he's saying. Luke chapter 5 and verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished in all that was with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And then there was the Apostle Paul of Saul of Tarsus when he was on his road to Damascus, seeking out men and women or whoever that was worshiping the Lord Jesus, was going to take them back and have them persecuted and put to death. There on the road to Damascus, he came into the presence of Almighty God. He was stricken down with a light. And there he fell there, and this is what he's saying. And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." I'm talking about when you come into the presence of God, when you realize that you're living every day in the very presence of the Lord, how you should react. When you keep in your mind that you're in the presence of God. And then there was John the Beloved on the Isle of Patmos. You remember the story when he said he was caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Said he saw the Lord Jesus. He saw the glorified Christ there in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. Boy, he began to describe what the glorified Christ looks like. He said his hair was white as wool. He had a belt around him. The Bible says his eyes was as flaming fire. His feet was as brass. What did he do when he was in the presence? He said, "And when I saw him," Revelation 1:17, "I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, 'Fear not. I'm the first and last.'" 2 Chronicles chapter 7, after that Solomon got through dedicating that temple and praying, the Bible says that the fire of God fell. The presence of God so filled that place, that great temple, that the priests fell on their face and the people couldn't even go in. You say, "Boy, if God would come, that wouldn't affect me." Oh, yes, it would. If you ever get into the presence of God, you'll fall on your face and you'll acknowledge how worthy that He is. And so that's the kind of fear that we're talking about. The fear of awe and reverence and honor and respect. And so there's others I could mention, but these are sufficient enough to prove the case that when you come into the presence of the Lord, there'll be reverence and there'll be awe. The bottom line is this: when we're walking in the fear of the Lord, we'll find ourselves in all of His greatness and His power. If you're walking in the spirit of the fear of the Lord, you'll find yourself realizing and knowing that you're walking in the awe of His greatness and His power. We'll think much of Him and little of self. You see these people that walks around and talking about all the time who they are and what they've done and what they're doing and how great Christians they are. They're not walking in the fear of the Lord. You're walking in the fear of the Lord, you make a big do out of God and very little of self. You see, so He will loom very large in our hearts and our lives. Does this describe the way that you see God? Do you live in the fear of the Lord? Is there a way that you can tell if you're walking in the fear of the Lord or not? I'm glad you asked me that, because they are. Yes, your actions will prove whether or not you fear the Lord. Now notice, the first thing I said, the fear of the Lord defined. I think we defined it. Now I want to talk about the fear of the Lord described. As Solomon seems to tell us, that the fear of the Lord is the demonstration in a life that keeps the commandments of God. Simply stated here, you and I prove that what we think of the Lord by the way that we live our lives. Did you hear what I said? You and I prove what we think of the Lord by the way that we live our lives. So that's one way that you can prove whether you're walking in the fear of the Lord. And another way is it's shown by the Word of God. There are several passages in the Bible that deals with this matter of fearing the Lord. They teach us the truth that what we do proves what we think of God. In other words, you'll live no better than the level at which you honor and reverence God. You'll live no better than the level at which you honor and reverence God. If you see the Lord as being high and holy, and I hope you do because He is. If you see the Lord as being a God of judgment, which He is. If you see Him as a God who hates sin, which He does. Then you'll live like you believe that. But if on the other hand you have the idea that God just winks at sin and God don't pay no attention when we sin and it don't bother God when we sin, that He might not really judge the world, then you'll live at a much lower level. It's true. Your life will tell the world what you think of the Lord. But the way you live your life, you're telling the world just exactly what you think of the Lord that you profess to know as your personal Savior. Notice some passages from the Word of God. Proverbs 14:2. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despises him. Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. If you fear God, then you're going to depart from evil. Deuteronomy 6:2 says, Thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee. Thou and thy son's son, all the days of the life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When you fear God, you depart from evil. Jesus put it this way, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15, the Bible and the Lord Jesus equates fearing the Lord with doing what He's saying. In other words, what He says is, if you fear God, if you love God, then you're going to do what He says. You're going to keep His commandments. You're going to obey Him. You're going to do what He says. Again, just as simply as I can put it, the Bible teaches us that we prove our fear of the Lord by ordering our lives in a manner that shows love and respect and reverence for Him above all the other things. And again, I must ask you this morning, does this describe the way in which you live your life in reverence and awe, in honor and respect of God? Or do you go out here and do things that the Word of God forbids you to do? Do you go out here and live in a way which is unchristlike? Or do you say and do things that bring shame and reproach to the glory of, to the name of God? How do you live your life? How do you live every day of your life? Does your lifestyle say, I love the Lord? You don't have to say anything, just the way you live. It should. Now we know that the fear of the Lord is, and we know how it's demonstrated. And let me just take a few moments to understand why it's so important. The fear of the Lord defined. The fear of the Lord described. And the third thing, the fear of the Lord demanded. As wise King Solomon concludes his remarks in this passage, tells us that fearing the Lord and keeping His commandments is the whole duty of man. His counsel is that we really need to worry about is the fearing the Lord. That's all we need to worry about. If we can handle that, then everything else is fine. It's just a piece of cake. This seems to be the same idea that Jesus tried to convey to the people. In Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. These two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You see, if I can love God with all of my heart, that's the secret. If I can love God, if you can love God with all your heart, then I'll have no trouble walking in His will. Neither will I have any trouble loving my neighbor. In fact, if I can love God with all my heart, which is the essence, is fear of Him, then I'll be able to keep His commandments and I'll be able to honor Him with my life. Does that sound very reasonable? That's what the Lord is teaching us. Now I want to say a word about this matter of fearing the Lord. I'm not referring to the fear that the Lord is waiting behind me with a club. When I make a mistake, He's going to bash me in the head. I'd get a lot of head bashings if that was the case, because I fail the Lord every day. Not that I'm proud of it, not that I have to, but I yield so many times to the flesh. So what does it mean? What does it mean then? I believe it isn't the fear that the Lord will reach out and put His hand on me in some horrible fashion. But for me, the fear of the Lord is that God will take His hand off of me. That's what I fear more than God putting His hand on me when I don't live like I should live, when I don't fear the Lord. And God would take His hand off of you. Can you imagine what it would be like to once have the anointing of God upon you and have the blessings of God coming upon you and God using you, and then all of a sudden, because of the way you live, God would take His hand off of you? Wouldn't that be horrible? I'd probably rather get a whipping by. But listen, you have any scripture of that? Yes, remember Israel. When they had sin in the camp, and you listen to this, Israel had sin in the camp. A man by the name of Achan disobeyed. He took forbidden treasures that God told him not to take. And then what did he do? He took it and hid it, and denied and lied that he took it. And because Achan did not fear the Lord, God took His hand of power off the nation of Israel, and they were beaten by their enemies. It's all because of sin in the camp. Now you listen to what this preacher is saying. One person in the body of Christ, in a local assembly, can get in their way and become disobedient, and become an instrument in the hands of Satan to destroy and to tear down.
That's right.
And you know what will happen? God will take His hand of power off of the camp.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church, or visit our website at UnionTempleFWB.org.